Yo, yo, yo.
That was Talib Kweli, which is in the middle of equality.
Okay.
Anyway. Enemy Combatant Radio, San Francisco Independent Media
Being
Center.
Being great combative.
Live. We are combative, exactly.
Yes, we are.
Very. SF Indie Media, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
So, well, we got, what we're doing here, weekly show, hopefully soon to morph into a larger scale project.
Worldwide domination.
So, voice is very important. I'm DJ IBM.
I'm DJ Sundog. I don't know, whatever.
So we got Ugo on the ones and twos over there.
Hello, folks.
And, he's just reading a book. He's not actually
Hello,
on ones
folks.
And twos. In fact, we don't even have ones and twos here in the studio.
Y'all come back now. You're here.
But we're just going to read some.
Oh, and the Care Not Cash stuff, too. That's
There's some news.
That's really ridiculous.
You know, news.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
This shit's fucked up.
Yeah. And the fact that they have a new ad campaign out now, too.
Really?
The We Want Change people, which AKA is actually the Golden Gate Restaurant Association and the Hoteliers Association at here in San Francisco, in the Bay Area.
We're in the Bay Area, San Francisco. I'm guessing we're perhaps being picked up around the country. Maybe there are a few people from their other states.
We have a global radio project that is currently being tested out. Right now, so we're patched through to that. I mean, it's not anywhere you can really access right now unless you know where to go, but just so you know, it's something to look forward to, that when we work out the kinks, you can get radio from all over the world, from indie media sites, and by indie media, we have a general, very broad sweeping view at this point of
exactly
what is indie media. Doesn't necessarily have to be a radio project of a specific IMC, but hopefully that'll be up off the ground pretty soon.
So we're in San Francisco. What's the Care Not Cash? That's a good topic to start off. It's an issue that indie media, SF Indie Media particularly, has done a bit of, you know, there's been lots of reports coming in from all kinds of folks on the issue, and maybe we could talk a little bit about Care Not Cash, the current, there's some articles online, I know, about what's, you know, most recently what's been going on, and it's an issue that will certainly, it's not... Yeah, well, it's a huge issue here in San Francisco. And
it's one that will not likely
go.
I actually was wondering, did you read the editorial The Guardian did about the judge throwing out Care Not Cash?
I didn't.
They presented an argument, because basically Care Not Cash was a initiative designed by Supervisor Gavin Newsom, who coincidentally is now running for mayor. And funded by the Getty family, lots of Getty money flowing in and lots of money back into liquor stores flowing out. He owns a lot of wineries and cutesy little boutique type places like that.
He's what we call a trust fund baby.
Yes, he is a big baby, that's for sure. Or bastard, as we like to say.
Bastard, yes.
Bastardized. And he... of course, staged this whole, you know, homeless campaign right at the, you know, beginnings of his election campaign, and amongst, you know, talk that he was going to run, which, you know, certainly didn't hurt that campaign. And many people that may not necessarily have previously put up, posters or whatever in their windows to support him and endorse him are now doing so, like, in record numbers, just because of what they feel is, you know, some giant steps taken on his part to end homelessness.
Exactly.
In San Francisco, which I'd like to see him end homelessness. That'd be the miracle of the century.
It's a topic. San Francisco, of course, has a reputation, well, amongst conservatives in this country, of being, you know, this communist stronghold, right? Berkeley, the People's Republic of Berkeley, mm-hmm. You know, right across the bay. And then San Francisco, of course, is the all of the whining liberals and the bleeding hearts. They inhabit City Hall and every nook and cranny of the city. So conservatives, you know, view San Francisco as like the devil's outpost, basically. And of course, people to the center and the left of the political spectrum, for the most part, my impression has, you know, San Francisco certainly has, you know, earned its reputation as a progressive, you know, well, liberal and progressive political climate and a city with a political, that kind of political climate. But nevertheless, every single election year, the issue of homeless, you know, what to do with the large, you know, relatively large homeless population that inhabits the streets, and that, you know, if you read the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner, you'll believe that there's like people hassling you for spare change, you know, every two steps, which I don't know.
And that's the way these campaigns, which coincidentally also, by the way, have helped to fund Gavin Newsom's election campaign, put together by a coalition of supposed San Francisco Bay Area citizens, and it's called the We Want Change campaign. They have their own really spiffy, slick website, and a lot of money has been funneled into that. And basically, what they have been able to do is make the public believe that they're just a bunch of concerned citizens, you know, that have kind of banded together from different communities in San Francisco to combat this problem. And it's total bullshit. It's not Joe, you know, the corner store guy, or, you know, Mrs. O'Reilly, your next door neighbor, or whatever. Like this body of people is composed of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association, which counts among its members some of the most affluent and well-placed restaurant chains and hotels and stuff in the city, and also the Hoteliers Association here in the city. And thus, you know, they got together, they decided that, guess what, homelessness is hurting tourism, right? You know, how can you have a great hotel and have valet parking out front when, you know, the person doesn't want to drive up because there's like a homeless guy out front? You know, that's pretty scary.
It's you know, scary. Reality staring. It's reality, you know, looking at the rich people are upset by the fact that they have to face reality at the policies, you know, economic, that they benefit from on a daily basis, that fill their bank accounts and their 401ks and their, you know, their investment accounts with Merrill Lynch and TD Waterhouse. You know, these they have to face this reality that you know, all's not well in Wellsville.
I mean, and they totally know that. They're really pissed off that it's like hurting their business, and they don't want, you know, especially after 9/11. And this is the other thing too, is this all kind of came about after 9/11, as the economy was floundering and as people were looking left and right, wondering where their next bailout was going to come from. And they're like, you know, we have to, you know, every city that one of the main things in their agenda was, you know, how do we boost up tourism, because nobody wants to travel right now. No one wants to get on a plane. No one wants to get on a train. You know, how are we going to ensure that the tourists keep coming in and putting, you know, revenue into the city? And so one of the key things that people started to realize is that, you know, the homelessness problem, which is so obvious and so evident in the city, is not gonna entice people to come out here. So they organized this you know, We Want Change committee, and put out all these advertisements. And you've seen the billboards. You saw them all over town. You saw also when they were liberated and people changed them slightly. But, you know, they were like pictures of, like, you know, your average citizens of all different shapes and sizes and colors holding up cardboard, pieces of cardboard that said, you know, things on it like, why did we spend $10,000 on homelessness last year and it's nothing's changed? Or how come the supervisors, you know, are pussies and don't want to tackle this issue? And how come, you know, I don't want to sweep people off my doorstep and blah, 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 blah. And so people, you know, started to really see these really catchy, you know, visual aids, and they're like, wow, you know, this is a community of people that really care, and they demand change. You know, they want the supervisors to be accountable for not having a coherent plan to tackle homelessness, you know. And that was the other thing, is that they applied a lot of public pressure to the supervisors. And so basically all the supervisors, of course, this is, you know, right before they're about to elect a new president for the board, right before a lot of new elections for key spots. And so people were like, shit, homelessness is the big issue, and people want to know who's got a plan, and whoever doesn't isn't going to get elected.
Yep.
So,
man, so Care Not Cash is a program, you know, it passed the 60-something percent of San Franciscans
who are panhandlers.
they vote. It was a referendum, you know, put to the popular vote here in San Francisco last November, and it passed, you know, 60% or so to 40% or so. And what it does is it greatly reduces, significantly reduces, something by 75% or 80%, the cash assistance that the city of San Francisco gives to people on the streets. And there's several categories of people on the streets, like, and I think it, I, but in general, it severely cuts down the amount of cash and substitutes vouchers for
Yeah, it gets rid of it altogether. Like stuff.
So it goes from like $300 or $400 to like $65. Yeah, $57.
$56 or something.
And so the reasoning behind that, you know, based on this website, wewantchange.com. Check it out if you have a chance. It's really slick. And you know, the reason is, of course, the you know, panhandlers are a nuisance, and so by giving them money on the street, you know, you're
so are greedy CEOs.
You're giving, yeah, exactly. You're giving. You're funding drug abuse and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they point to some statistics on their website. You know, 95% of young homeless people had taken drugs compared with 51% of young people generally. So, you know, it's hard to believe, I'm sure, that living on the street is stressful. You might want to just, you know, dull your pain with some coke or dope or something, you know. But that's a stat that, you know, is contextless, basically. And so, anyway, your change, you know.
This is actually updated. This is their new tactic, because before, they were talking a lot about like, you know, use your power as a citizen, pressure the supervisors, like, you know, we care, we want to see homeless people taken care of, and that was their angle. And now they have new billboards out actually, and these ones say the cardboard slabs say things like, "You thought you were giving Joe money for a warm meal and a place to stay, but you were really feeding his coke habit," you know. And it's like, and so now this is their website, like, reflects this new like change. So they're basically taking it past the Care Not Cash elections, which is what all that hype was. They wanted to get people to vote for that without knowing the real issues, without knowing the real facts. But now they want to take it past that and like just eradicate homeless people altogether from the city.
Right. You know, and this facade of caring and whatnot, but they're disgusting rich people, and they don't give a fuck about people on the streets. What they want to do is make is their they want their, you know, high priced hotels, and they want their wineries to be
Plump Jack, exactly. Boycott Plump Jack.
They want, you know, yeah, they want their business and the money to keep flowing into their pockets and their bank accounts. And homeless people apparently, you know, affects tourism, and San Francisco relies on tourism and stuff. So they really don't care, but they put on this facade of caring. And they, of course, the problem with these vouchers is that there aren't enough services, there aren't enough substance slots, and there aren't enough beds and shelters, there are just not enough affordable housing. Shelter, who wants to live in a shelter? Mm-hmm. I mean, people.
There's serious security issues with like shelters. You know, there's a lot of women don't want to go into, you know, don't want to spend the night in a shelter because, you know, a lot of rapes actually happen in shelters, and
exactly.
You know, people put very stringent regulations on people that go into shelters, but often those, you know, people get mugged in shelters, they get beaten up, and women are also under a big threat of like sexual abuse.
Yeah, and everyone, women, men, children are treated like shit. Like they're treated
basically
like non-humans. You know, most shelter workers are overworked, they're overstressed, and in general
underpaid,
so there's no... There aren't any services. I mean, given the fact the economy is the economy, I hate saying that because it's such a complex. Well, to sum it up, it's the economy is on a downturn, you know. And so, who's going to get it? All social services, education, all these things, as we see in Oakland and Berkeley and San Francisco, will get cut. Prices of public transportation and, you know, Muni and BART will go up.
And they are.
BART.
Which is another issue.
By the way. So this affects people, not homeless people, but poor people in general. And so there'll be vouchers for services that don't exist, and that the ones that do exist
right,
that they could use those vouchers for are getting cut.
And that was the big issue. That was the big issue that a lot of people had. I mean, there were some people that consider themselves progressives or whatever that were like, you know, hey, it wouldn't be such a bad plan if, in fact, that money was going to services. But in Gavin Newsom's plan, he specifically said, you know, this money that we're taking away, that we're cutting off, could go to better services, and it should go there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will go there. And not only that, he didn't have a plan outlined for how to A, improve those services, or B, expand them. You know, so it was basically this kind of hollow shell with a lot of window dressing. And I think that that's proven, you know, by the fact that they had a lot of people like panhandling the Care Not Cash program, trying to get people to sign petitions and stuff for it on the street that totally didn't want you to know the truth about it. And I remember one instance where I was like at the Safeway in the Castro, and this guy was out front, and he was like, "Care Not Cash, Care Not Cash, like, you know, sign up, show your support or whatever." And I went up to him and you know, and he's like, you should sign up. You should sign this petition. And I was like, well, do you mind if I read it really quick? And he's like, you don't need to read it. The name says it all, you know, like care, not cash. We're caring, not giving cash. And I'm like, you know, and then I kind of was talking to him about it and dialoguing and like, you know, well, what about A, B, and C? And he's like, I don't know who told you that, but that's a lie. You know, like basically like they're going to have more beds. And I was like, show me where it says that. And because he had the care, not cash legislation in front of him. And I was like, show me where it says that. And he's like, well, I can't find it for you now, but you don't need to read this. And I'm just like, well,
trust us. We are rich people.
Yeah. Just sign basically. And then he lost all interest in me. He's like, oh, okay, she's not going to sign up.
Yeah.
I don't like you anymore. I'm not going to smile at you.
there's a website headed up by the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness, which, gives some good general ideas on, you know, real solutions, you know, reform type solutions, like true reform solutions to the problem of lack of affordable housing and whatnot. One stat they have on here is, one suggestion they have is that San Francisco could reexamine the effects of laws that deal with minor offenses. And it says, currently San Francisco spends $30 million a year on incarcerating homeless people, mostly from warrants for so-called quality of life infractions, such as panhandling, vending, camping, you know, I don't know, public drinking and stuff like that. And $30 million a year on putting people in jail for that. And a couple of, I think last year, San Francisco gave several hundred million dollars in what the corporations called overpayment of taxes back to the huge corporations that, you know, get basically free rides here in the city, like Bank of America, Big the Gap. Huge corporations got hundreds of millions of dollars and because they were a lawsuit against the city and stuff to get that money back. And so just where are the priorities with San Francisco, but in this entire country are really just fucked up, you know. $30 million a year to put people in, ticketing people, putting them in jail for war. It's just, and then you give hundreds of millions of dollars to
women for drug offenses in prison. Blah,
women.
Blah.
Yeah, and the people that are most affected are women, you know, young, old people, and, you know, poor.
And the children whose parents are in jail, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, this is exactly. There's another suggestion that this website, nomorehomelessness.org, gives is to use existing, you know, empty buildings, the city could renovate them and put them and make them useful. And there's an incentive.
Instead of arresting people for squatting.
Exactly. There's an incentive for landlords to keep these buildings off the market. It artificially it lowers the amount of housing in the market, thereby increasing prices and increasing, you know, rent and whatnot. But also, it, you know, the landlord has no incentive basically to renovate and to make it affordable housing because, well, there's a little money. The government can't force them to do that, but so it's just backwards.
And the number one key thing is that all of these legislations, all these initiatives and proposals and plans being put out by all these savvy, you know, oh, revelation, I just had an epiphany type of politicians that are just trying to get reelected and get some money in their pockets, basically have not solicited input or insight from any of the actual people that are working on these issues.
Exactly.
And that includes like organizations like the Coalition on Homelessness, you know, that, or hey, how about homeless people themselves? You know, they don't derive any kind of an input from them and they just kind of try and make these things up without any knowledge about what's really going on or any kind of connection to the real issues at hand. And that's why all these plans fail one after the other, you know, is because they're not going to the source.
I mean, yeah, and they fail because they're designed to fail also. You know, like it's we live in a class society, you know, one in which the resources and wealth are concentrated at the top, and there's reasons why they don't, that it doesn't change. The reasons why things change is because people fight for these changes, and you know, no one you hear Gavin Newsom and his ilk, you know, say they want to help homeless and poor people. It's really, it's just bullshit, you know, it's just flat out bullshit. And I don't know, in 1993, there was I think Frank Jordan was the mayor of San Francisco. He had a program called The Matrix.
Oh, that's right, The Matrix,
Where they it was like this, you know, it's kind of what goes on now. The plan maybe officially died, but it's, you know, still goes on. But it's where, you know, police would just harass homeless people till they were forced out of the city or where they had too much, they couldn't afford to get out of the jail for so many tickets. It is harass, 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 and And there we go. It's the Matrix, you know. Social control, basically.
And it's really telling that right before Gavin actually unleashed this plan with his campaign committee or whatever, which, you know, kind of helped him write it, he took a little trip over to New York City to meet with Giuliani and gain some insight into Giuliani's amazing plan to help the homeless. And he basically was like, damn, you did a great job. You know, like, how can I do this in San Francisco? How can we follow your example? And, you know, after everything that, you know, New York City has been criticized for in terms of Giuliani's war on the homeless, this is the prototype that, you know, Newsom was looking at. And he spent money to go all the way out there to have a tete-a-tete with this guy and then bring back, you know, that same poison and kind of inject it into the city. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, but, you know, these are the roots of that plan. These roots are coming from Giuliani's own masterwork.
Yep. Yeah, Giuliani, of course, in New York City, is his quality of life ticketing, and he, you know, encouraged the police to just harass homeless people to no yeah. end. It's a strategy that is effective at making people's lives miserable, but doing nothing to address the root causes of the problem, mainly, right. you know, poverty and mental illness certainly plays a factor. Mm-hmm. You know, lack of childcare, so people who live on the streets or in their car can look for a job instead of taking their being forced to take care of the kid. I mean, it's this kind of services that
job training,
all these things are just, it's such a lack of
and entry level programs, you know, where people can, you know, like Delancey Street is a really cool, not necessarily maybe within the homeless vein, but like, you know, prison homelessness. Right. I mean, it actually does entry-level training. Because, I mean, a lot of people, yeah, you know, they can get job training, but then they go for an interview and people take one look at the resume and are like, oh, thanks, we'll call you, you know. And it's like, it's really depressing. And that's why a lot of people turn to isms and kind of, like, addictions that are going to, you know, allow them to forget about what's going on for a while, you know, because it's just going around your entire life just feeling like a failure it's obviously, it's overwhelming. And I don't know, these whole issues right now are obviously being battled out in a war that we need more support with, and the Coalition on Homelessness needs more support and help. And currently, Judge, what was the judge's name? Judge, I'm sure I'm looking, Judge Judy, no, Judge K, I can't remember. Anyway, recently, a judge threw out Care Not Cash, actually, because in the last election, it won by, like, what was it, like, 60-40?
Yeah.
So, you know, so all of that campaigning on the part of Newsom and the We Want Care, you know, We Want Change people really made an impact. And people thought they were doing the right thing. And so, of course, they want to help. A lot of people had good intentions. And, of course, they want to help the homeless. But they didn't realize that this plan was really going to end up hurting the homeless. And so it passed. And, you know, people took issue with it and brought it before the court. And the judge threw it out, saying that it was actually not valid or legal because the voters should not have the power to vote on this. This is something that should have been voted on by the supervisors and by the city, because it was like a city issue, which is kind of like a double-edged sword, because at this point, you know, great, Care Not Cash has been thrown out and it's no longer legal. But at the same time, what the judge is saying is that the people don't have a right to vote on these issues. So let's, you know, what really should have happened is it should have been thrown out and put on the ballot again, you know, and another campaign launched, you know, maybe with equal money, like equal public money going into a campaign against it or something. And people should have been educated on it. And then the people should have been allowed to vote on it again, you know. But what ended up happening is that now they're basically saying that people don't have the power or have a voice in any of this, which is pretty dangerous when you consider everything that's at stake in other areas like public power and things like that. So
it's madness. Yeah, there's also an alternate plan called the Continuum of Care program, which was drafted and worked up by homeless people and the nonprofit service providers, including the city, but also, you know, nonprofits that work on a day-to-day basis with homeless people. And of course, that plan, you know, was, it says the there's a SF Bay Guardian editorial saying that it, you know, that the program was approved but not funded, therefore not implemented. So it's hopefully that's one place that, well, the Bay Guardian in this in an editorial they wrote recently, they say that would be a good place for the supervisors to start this continuum of care program. But certainly this Care Not Cash is going to be reintroduced, and supervisors will have to vote on it, and there are lots of people out there who hope that it doesn't pass.
For more information.
For more information.
You can always log on to Indie Media and check out the housing. I mean, right now it's like a housing issue. So click on the housing link and it'll take you to the homeless kind of feature page, housing feature page. Lots of shit going on in the city, not just with homeless issues, but even with people that have homes. I mean, many people that actually have homes doesn't necessarily mean they have jobs, you know, or many people that have jobs don't necessarily have homes. So it's kind of one or the other. Like, you're juggling a lot of shit, and to be able to actually afford a place to live just so that you can, like, you know, have a place to go home to so you can get a shower and go to work the next day and be presentable for work is next to impossible in the city.
Exactly.
You know, so
well,
we're depressed now, so hurry up with that liquor, whoever's bringing it.
Exactly. There's some, we're going to maybe throw on another track here.
DJ IBN.
As we'll break down some music for y'all and come back with some more news. This is Enemy Combatant Radio, San Francisco.
415-864-1006. Aye.
Word. And again, yes, this is a track. This track is by a local, well, they're from Sacramento. Prophets of Rage is called Ni Un Minuto Más. It's about Vieques, which was recently
liberated
from the Navy bomb, the U.S.
But now they want
Navy.
Them to clean up.
Right, and the U.S. Navy's got to clean up. But they're not going to, because they're a bunch of hoodlums and thugs. So anyway, what is this? All right, Prophets of Rage, folks. Thanks for...
Where are we? What?
Don't you move it.
In white sands, yo, putting up shells about the sea is evidence of what used to be live ammo, and I soak my feet in uranium depleted, waters infested by Europeans, seeking a paradise to practice sacrificing human beings. I'm seeing the destruction they leaving, it's like the motherland's no longer breathing, no wonder why her children gasping and wheezing with holes in their lungs, like the earth and what the military done with their guns, erased the nature, replaced it with craters, confiscated homes and made us evacuate to meet the creator, tropical sun blaze, no trees, no shade, got us eating dirty fish to cook a pants of fillets. Every day's a war zone. Bombs explode around homes and schoolhouses. Young Puerto Rican children go to learn about democracy. Living in a colony, follow me. Vieques, where they test new and existing weaponry. So everybody grab a tent, some water, some bread, and send a letter to the president. It's urgent, let him know we taking it back. One innocent man dead, they missed they target and hit David Sanez. May God bless him, one victim of oppression. We've been fighting since day one of becoming your possession. The people's insurrection shut them down since April 99. Navy officially ran out of time.
Nah, not a minute more, they gotta go, they breaking God's law, y'all.